Perek Tesmish Nadalad until Perek Tesmish Zayin. We continue to discuss the halachos of a guzlan, a thief, and specifically when you give someone something to someone to fix or to do work on, and that person, instead of improving it, he does something to damage it. So the mission says, Hanosin Semelat Saba, someone who gives wool to a dyer to dye the wool, Hikdichatu Yoira, or the dyeing machine, a sort of big cauldron sort of thing. It burns the wool because he kept it in there for too long. Nosin Lo Dmei Tzamrei. The halacha is that the dyer has to pay the owner of the wool for the value of the wool because he effectively damaged his property. That's if he ruined it. What happens if Tzvoi Ka'ur? He did dye it, he didn't damage it, but he dyed it using low-quality material, low-quality dye, and it didn't look very nice, but it still did the job. All he'd said was, dye my thing, he didn't specify how. Nevertheless, because he specifically used the worst materials, the worst dyes, it's considered as if he's damaging him, and therefore, the owner still has to pay him the wages which he said he would, but he's paid the lesser amount. What do we mean? If the amount that the thing has improved by is more than the cost of the dye, for example, let's say the wool was worth 10 zuz and the dye was worth 10 zuz, but once you dye the wool becomes worth 30 zuz. So that means the improvement, the increase in the value overall is more than the cost of the actual dye. So in that case, the owner only has to pay the person for the amount that the dye cost, 10 zuz. But not 20 zuz, which is the amount that it increased by. Again, why? Because he used the worst materials and sort of intended to do damage. And if the cost of the dye is more than the increase in the value, then the owner only has to give him the increase in the value, because that's a lesser amount. Again, because even though he followed his instructions, he clearly didn't do what the owner of the wool wanted him to do. Now, what happens if the owner of the wool explicitly tells him how to dye? It's really odd. He tells him, I want you to dye this red. It's very shocher. This person dyes it black. Shocher, or he tells him, dye it black. It's very odd. But for some reason, he dyed it red. The dyer has to give the value of the wool to the owner of the wool. Rabbi Meir looks at him as a gazlan, a thief, because he completely went against the wishes of the person who gave it to him, and he changed it, and therefore, since he changed it, he pays him the value of the wool. However, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. It's not the same as a guzlan. When a guzlan steals something, he intends to keep it for himself. Here, he's not intending to keep it for himself, and therefore has the same halacha as the previous case, where he dyed it in a different manner to what he wanted, yet he still improved the thing, and therefore, if the increase in the value of the dyed wool is more than the cost of the dye, then you give him the cost of the dye, meaning the owner gives the dyer that money. If the cost of the dye is more than the increase in the value, then he gives him the increase in the value, which is the lesser amount, because again, even though he didn't do exactly like the owner told him to do, he still dyed it and didn't intend to steal it, and therefore he has paid money, but he has paid the lesser amount. Mishnah Hey, this Mishnah introduces us to a concept which will really take us until the end of this perek, and that is that even though a guzlan usually has to pay back just the item which he stole, or the value of the item which he stole, if he makes a shavua, he makes an oath that he didn't steal it from the person, made a false oath, and then after that he confessed and said, you know what, I was lying, really I did steal it from you, in that case he has to pay back the actual value, obviously, but as well as paying back the actual value, he has to pay back a fifth of that value. That's called keren v'chomesh, the actual value of the thing, or the actual thing itself, plus a fifth of the value. The truth is, it's not a fifth of the value, it's actually a quarter, but if you work it out, a quarter of something, once you add on the quarter, it's a fifth. For example, if he steals £100, a quarter of that is £25. So he has to pay back £125. Now, out of that total amount, £25 is a fifth of that. So that's how the Mishnah calls it a fifth, but really it's a quarter, as we explained. But we refer to it as a fifth for now, because that's how the Mishnah refers to it. Now, as well as paying back keren v'chomesh, the value plus a fifth, this person is also chayv to bring a korban. It's called a korban asham gezelos. It's a guilt offering for stealing and falsely swearing that he didn't steal. And that's his other punishment, so the Mishnah tells us. All of this only applies if it's a significant amount that he stole. It's only if someone steals from his friend a shoyer pruta, which across Shas is always considered the minimum amount of money to be considered significant money. Anything less than that is not considered valuable at all. So if someone steals a shoyer pruta worth from someone else, and he swears falsely that he didn't steal from it, and after that he confessed that actually he did, then he has to go after him, after the person who he stole from, afilu lamodai. Even to the far country of Modai, he has to find the person who he stole from to give back that money, the keren v'chomesh. The reason for this is because usually, if someone owes someone money, it's the responsibility of the person who is owed to come and collect the money. But in this case, what did he do? He swore that he didn't owe them the money. So they've now long ago given up hope of ever getting the money back, because they haven't found out who stole it, and this person denied having stolen it. So they're not going to come to him to collect the money. because they think he hasn't got the money because he swore falsely. And therefore, because it was his fault that they're not going to come after him, he's now obligated to go after them and to give back the money to them if he wants to receive an atonement for stealing. Furthermore, lo yitein lo livnoi l'shluchei. You can't give back this keren v'chomesh, this money, to the nigzal's son, the person you stole from, his son or his messenger, because you have to give it back to the person you stole it from. The other way around is fine. You're allowed to appoint a messenger to give it to the Nigzal himself, because that messenger is like you. The point is that when you give it over to the Nigzal, you have to give it over to the Nigzal himself, not the Nigzal's messenger. However, there's another solution. Avol Nosin is Sheach Beis Din. You don't even have to appoint a messenger yourself. You can give it to a messenger of the Beis Din. And as soon as you've given it to the messenger of the Beis Din, you've now fulfilled the obligation. It's now up to the Beis Din to deliver that. And the reason for this is fascinating. We want this person to do teshuva. We want him to return the thing he stole. If we're going to make him travel across the whole world, it's very unlikely he's going to do that. So in order for this thing to be returned to its original owner, and for this person to repent and get an atonement and do tshuva, make it easier for him and allow him to do it through the Beis Din. Finally, says the Mishnah, Ve'emeis, what happens if the person he stole from dies? Yachzal Yoshev, then he'll be obligated to return the thing you stole to his inheritors, and again, you'll have to travel across the whole world unless you appoint a messenger in order to do that for you. Mishnah Vov, not on Osar Keren, if the Gazlan, the thief, gives back the Keren, which is the actual value, or the actual item which he stole, but Velinos and Loisar Chomesh, he didn't give back the extra fifth which he has to add on. Or Mochalei Ala Keren, the Nigzal, the person who it was stolen from, forgave the Gazlan. He said, you know what, I'm fine, you don't need to pay him back the actual value. However, Velimochalei Ala Chomesh, he didn't forgive him for the Chomesh. He said, you still have to give him back the extra fifth. Or Mochalei Al Zeb Al Zeh, he forgave him about both of them. He said, you don't need to give him back either of them, except I want you to give me back part of it. Except for less than a shoa pruta, less than that minimal amount of the keren. Remember, we said you only have to go after him if you stole a shoa pruta, which is the minimum amount which is considered significant. So in all these cases, the gazlan does not need to run after and find the nigzal to pay him back, because either because it's less than shoa pruta, or because the whole halacha that the gazlan has to go after the nigzal to pay him back, that's taught from a pasuk which only discusses the keren, not the chomesh. So we see from there that if all you need to return is the chomesh, the extra fifth, then you don't need to go after him. If he comes to you, then of course you have to give it back to him, but you do not need to approach him to give back the money. Now, what happens if it's the opposite? Not only is a chomesh, if the gazlan gave back to the nigzal the extra fifth, but he didn't give back the actual value or the actual item, or the nigzal forgave him, he said you don't give back the chomesh, but he didn't let go of his claim of the keren, or if the nigzal said you don't bring back anything except for a shor pruta, which is the minimal amount, part of the keren, so in that case he doesn't go after him to pay him back, because like we mentioned, you need to go after him in a case where you owe him a shor pruta of the keren. Mishnah Zayin, what happens if someone steals from someone and he swears falsely, he says I didn't do it, and then he confesses, you know what, I did. So what's he chayav to pay now? Keren v'chomesh, the value plus a fifth. But what did he do? Not only is that keren, he only paid the actual value. And said, let's say he said, come back to me tomorrow for the chomesh. So they came back to him, and then he said, Nishba lo la chomesh, he swore that he paid the extra fifth. So now he's swearing about the extra fifth. If he then confesses that actually, you know what, I didn't pay the extra fifth, then of course he has to pay the extra fifth, but now that fifth becomes the keren. So he's got to pay a fifth of that, as well as the actual chomesh. Think about it like this. He owes them a fifth. If you owe someone money and you swear that you don't, and then confess about it, you have to pay back that amount plus a fifth. So what's that amount this time? It's the fifth. Plus a fifth, that's a fifth of the fifth. So for example, let's say originally he stole 100 zuz, and he gave out the 100 zuz, but he didn't give back the 25 zuz, which is the chomesh. Now he'll have to give back 25 zuz plus a chomesh of that. So we said it's actually a quarter, so that would be about 31, 32 zuz. However, if you think about it, if you continue swearing about chomesh, let's say this time again, he only gives back the 25, but not the extra chomesh of the chomesh, and then he swears about it and he admits, so now he has to pay the chomesh of the chomesh plus a chomesh of that, and so forth. However, it will come a point that the thing he's swearing about is less than a shoa pruta, because remember, he's always swearing about the little amount, the little fifth, and that's getting less and less each time, so it will come a point that that's worth less than a shoa pruta. And we said before that you only need to add a chomesh if it's worth a shoa pruta. The mission tells us you only need to do this ad sheyismaat hakeren pochim shoa pruta, until the keren, which is the thing you're swearing about, which in this case is a fifth of the fifth of the fifth of the fifth, whatever it is, which until it gets to shoa pruta, once it's pochim shoa pruta, once it's less than a shoa pruta that you're swearing about, you no longer need to give back a chomesh on that. Okay, says the Mishnah, all of this that we've said so far is if you steal something from someone else, but the Mishnah tells us exactly the same applies, v'chim ha'pekodoin, similarly with a deposit. If I deposit something with you, and I say, no, I'll collect it in a week's time, I come to collect it, and you say, oh, no, I don't have it, or I give it back, the same halachas would apply. You'd have to give keren v'chomesh number one, as well as a korban. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, bepikadon, this applies to a deposit over sumas yod or a loan. Someone lends someone money and then he denies that he has the money. Over gozel, or he steals it, that's our case which we've discussed so far. Oshak es amiso, or he oppresses his friend. This is referring to someone who doesn't give his worker his wages. That's like stealing. Or he finds a lost article, he's obligated to return it to its original owner. But he denies that he found it, and he keeps it for himself, and Ishbal Shoker. And in all these cases, if he swears falsely that he doesn't have it, and then after that he confesses, he has paid, number one, Kaim Chemesh, the value plus a fifth, number two, the Osham, Karim Osham, like we explained, with regards to someone who steals. So now I'm going to elaborate how would this work in the case of a deposit. So let's say I deposit something with you, and I come to you a week later, and I say, Hey, where's my deposit which I gave you to keep for a bit? On my loy, you say to me, Ovad, it got lost. Baloch is that if I'm not paying you to watch over this deposit, you're sort of doing me a favor, and therefore, if it does get lost, then you are potter from paying back the thing, because I'm not paying you, so you're sort of doing me a favor, and therefore, you don't have to pay me back. So you tell me, it got lost, and I tell you, hang on, mashbiochani, I'm gonna make you make a shavua, an oath that you're telling the truth, the omar main, and you say, omain, which is sort of, accept upon yourself that shavua, but then, v'ha'edim idim say shacholo. Witnesses come and testify about him, about you, that you actually ate the thing I deposited with you, or you consumed it, you used it up. In that case, it's proven that you were telling a lie, and you swore falsely, and therefore, mashan keren, you have to pay the keren. Why don't you have to pay the chomesh and the osham? Because keren of chomesh and osham, very important, only applies if you confess. But if someone else comes along and says that you did it, that you stole it, then you'll only have to pay back the original item, like a normal gazlan. It's only if hodomi atzmai, he admitted from himself, he himself confessed, then mishan keren of chomesh osham, then you have to pay the keren of chomesh and bring a korban osham as your punishment.